everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, Bruce. Today, Ranger Joe joins me on the podcast. A couple things to get out of the way before we get into the podcast with Ranger Joe. I think it's going to be a good episode. You're going to enjoy it. We are coming up on episode number 500 of the podcast. I've been doing these podcasts for a long time. Technically, I think I've done more than 500, but numbered episodes of the podcast, episode 500 is coming up, and I don't really know what I should do. I need your help. I did a Facebook post about some ideas that we should do for the podcast episode number 500, but to be honest with you, I've never really been one to celebrate milestones of hundreds, you know, 100, 200, 300. I've never really done that, and I don't know if I'm going to do it for 500, but if someone gives me an idea, and there's been some good ideas on the Facebook post so far about montages or live episodes somewhere, if someone comes up with an idea that really is, I think, amazing, maybe I'll do it. Otherwise, we'll probably just come at you with another episode interviewing somebody amazing, like today's guest, Joe. I got to mention something else before we get into the podcast. I started a community, and the reason I started this community was I have a pro version, SPM Pro. It's monthly calls with me. I help you with your marketing. You can set up a one-on-one call with me. We have a Facebook group and a forum. We do monthly calls on Zoom where we kind of go over everybody's marketing. That's a paid program. If you want to get in on that, listen, if you are trying to figure out marketing, I do suggest you get into that because $75 a month, you get me once a month, plus inside of our forum, you get all of our courses, all of the things that we create to help you get better at marketing and growing your business is available in there. But we have a Facebook group. It's Marketing for Restaurants. And I had this Facebook group. It's got over 1,000 people in it. And I've had it for a long time. And what happened is Facebook kind of sometimes, not sometimes, always throttles back the reach. And I'm not going to pay for ads to run questions or content inside of a free Facebook group. That's ridiculous. So I created a free version of Pro. Now, you're not going to get me all the time. And you're not going to have access to the monthly calls with me that you can answer questions. But it's a forum, and there's a lot of people in there just kind of hanging out asking questions. And if you do have one, you can throw it in there. Maybe someday if you're join us in the community long enough, you'll find some value. You'll make enough money where you can afford to join Pro. So that's why I created that because, in all honesty, I hated the Facebook group. Not that I hated the group itself. I hated Facebook for what it did to the group and how it made nothing be able to be seen. So I kind of wanted to abandon that. Move to our own community where we own the platform and we have complete control over who sees what and who goes where. The link is over at smartpizzamarketing.com if you want to join that. Okay, quick word from our sponsor today, and then we'll get right into the episode with Joe. Today's podcast is brought to you by Bacio. Not only is it great cheese, and you can see that over on my Facebook, it's the cheese that I've been using in my own home pizzas over the last year or two. It's amazing. I love it. But they also have a Gold Club Rewards program that's amazing for pizza restaurant owners. You get cash back for every pound of cheese you sell. You get rewards cards in a Visa or MasterCard card that you can use for whatever you want. You can use it in their marketing programs. You can use it to reward your staff. You can use it for yourself. Whatever you want to use the money for, you get cash back towards your business. Plus, you get a cool Bacio pizza peel that I have, actually, as a complimentary gift when you sign up for the Bacio's Gold Rewards program. How do you get part of this program? You want to sell some Bacio cheese and make some money as you sell your pizza to the customers? Head over to bacciocheese.com/SPM. Check out the cheese. Request a sample. Sign up for the Gold Rewards program. You won't regret it, I promise you. Again, that's bacciocheese.com/SPM. Joe from Ranger Joe's Pizza, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for hanging out with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
I appreciate you joining me. I know you got a lot going on and you're a busy guy, so I appreciate you taking the time, sharing your insights, your passion, your information with the podcast listeners here on the SPM show. So thanks again for doing that.
You got it.
Let's hear your background. I love to hear how you got started in the pizza business because it's always pretty, for most of the part, it's usually a pretty interesting story. So let's hear yours.
Yeah, it is actually pretty interesting. My father and mother, back in the 80s, owned pizza shops in Florida. My dad moved down to Florida to be a tool and die salesman, didn't like it, spoke to his brother-in-law, and they worked out a plan. My dad was the primary operator. He was a silent partner, and they brought the first of a large chain down to Florida, and they were kind of like given a very loose franchise agreement, not even anything really signed. It was just kind of a handshake deal.
Yeah.
And we were making pizzas back then like we do today at our current shop. So we didn't really have a lot of the restrictions a lot of franchises have down there. So, went really good. They had like six pizza shops at one time, really were doing really well. And from about 11 until about 19, I was in there like every day, you know, making pizza, eating pizza when I was a kid. When I was young, I always tell people I was more interested in playing video games than making pizza, you know. I was borrowing quarters left and right from my parents and, you know, just trying to when I was 11, 12, and 13. But when I got about 14, 15, 16, I started flipping dough and started learning the business, making dough, making pizzas. So that's kind of where I got my start. And then there's a 30-year gap where I didn't do anything with pizza. So if you want me to talk about that, I
Yeah,
can
what'd you do
too.
in
But
that
back in the
30-year
day,
gap?
you know what? My parents eventually got out of the business, out of that franchise, through some different things that occurred. They just kind of got out. And that's one thing I always like to look back on is I kind of felt like I missed that opportunity to stay in that pizza business and do it and stuff like that. And that's why now that I'm doing, I have so much passion and energy because I always kind of felt periodically like, man, I wish I could have done that. Maybe I should have been in the business. My cousins are all still in it, you know, but I had a great career. So basically after I left the pizza business, my parents got out of it. I moved to California to pursue an acting career. So I was in acting. I did some theater actually in Winter Haven, Florida. I got rave reviews, Neil Simon plays. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to do this thing, let's move out to California. So I go out to California and get out there. And the first day I got out there looking for an agent, I got one the next day, just walking up Hollywood Boulevard. And the guy asked me, will you do nudes? And I was like, no, I can't do nudes. Can't do nudes. And then he goes, what about partial nudes? And I said, no, I'm not into that. That's my line. I got, you know, I got standards. So he still took me on as one of his, you know, actors. And I got some parts from him, stuff like that. I stayed out there for about 9 months. I got kind of lonely for an ex-girlfriend I left in Florida and kind of went back and talked to my buddy, Richard. And within, I don't know, about a month, I was kind of like regretting leaving California. And within about a month, I spoke to him and we were headed back out, went out to a second time to California. And we got a studio. And it was like after a month or two, we were at each other's throat. It just didn't work out. So about the time where I was about ready to get out of the acting business and go back out to to Florida, I met my wife. So she was actually, want me to continue on or stop?
No,
Any
yeah, this is
questions?
interesting. So, did you ever end up being
So
in any movies or TV shows or anything that we know?
I was. You can see me in Passenger 57 with Wesley Snipes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the very beginning of the scene when the SWAT members go into the operating room and they try to arrest the bad guy that's getting like the facial reconstruction.
Yeah.
So we chase him through the hospital and you can see me in the parts of the, you know, I'm one of the SWAT team members. So I got to a point where I was like a featured extra,
Yeah.
but I wasn't like SAG yet, but I was getting close. But I just didn't like the industry. I just kind of got I was at the point where I kind of wanted the second time around, I was kind of done with it. But that's when I met my wife. I was working at Ripley's, believe it or not, in Hollywood. And I was a manager, and part of my job was to go outside and get people to come in
Yeah.
to the lobby. Once they were in the lobby, they saw the crazy exhibits at Ripley's, they would go in. So I'd have like a safari outfit. I had glasses. I'd do like the steel man. I'd stand there like this and scare people. And I heard this change drop behind me. So I turned around, helped this girl pick up some money and change, and it turned out to be my wife today. But I didn't know, you know, she had just left after about 10 minutes. And then she came back an hour later for some change for the meter for her car. And I took that opportunity to get her phone number. And she's like, who's this Hollywood guy trying to ask me for my phone number? Who are you? Okay, I'll give you my phone number. So we went on a date a few days later. And then about 5.5, 6 months later, we were married. And 30 years later, here we are.
Wow, where do you live now? You don't live in
So,
California anymore, right?
no, we're in Kalispell, Montana. We're
Okay.
out in Montana. So I did 19 and a half years in law enforcement
Okay.
during that period. I was married to her. And then getting to about 19 years in law enforcement, I was kind of like, hey, 18 years. I was like, you know, I think we want to cut out early. It's getting pretty crazy in California. We can go out there and not have to do anything, but I really wanted to always give that pizza restaurant a shot. You know,
Yeah.
let's go and open a pizza shop. So we came out here, opened our pizza shop, and it's just been amazing ever since. I mean, it's
That's
just going
great.
crazy.
So you're the pizza
Yeah,
shop,
so that's all.
the franchise that your parents owned, is it still around? Is it still, like, what's the name of it?
Oh yeah, it's a big franchise. It's
Okay.
Hungry Howie's.
Okay. So that there's a lot of those in
Now,
Florida.
Now we're not making our pizza like how Hungry Howie's does today. You
Fair
know what I mean?
enough.
Our pizza's gourmet.
Yeah.
It's our pizza's like you would get in a fine dining restaurant. We have Sicilian, New York, and Detroit.
Okay.
Very high quality. But back then, like I said, they had a very loose franchise. He could
Yeah.
use whatever product he wanted to. There was no franchise agreement. Nobody was kind of over his shoulder saying you got to do things this way. So people would drive 30 miles for our pizza back in the 80s. They loved our pizza, just like they do today. Our pizza is just people in the community doesn't really like our pizza.
So you've been in
So it's kind of the
how long you've been open in your current state, like the current business?
almost 2.5 years.
Wow. How's it been?
Crazy. It's we're doing wonderful. We want to open more. We're probably about 25% up from last year, which is great.
That is great.
That's really good. And my two sons are working for me now. My third son was, but he's not here right now. So I've got my two sons involved. They want to open more locations, and we want to move into a franchise model eventually once we get our second store up and running. Prove all those systems, get everything down, which we're working on right now.
How many people in your area? Because you're in Montana, right? So it's not a hugely populated state.
The city or the, yeah, Kalispell has about 26,000, I think in 2021, and maybe 2023, it's about 29,500.
So it's a good sized city. Not huge, but not small.
Over the last couple of years, we had about 3,500 people move into the city and the valley.
Do you
So
think that's
it's
because of
growing.
like the COVID thing and everybody can kind of live and work wherever they want?
I think that was a big part of it, but I think people had a really big rude awakening this last winter because we were down minus 29 degrees. So people come out here from these different big cities, you know, and they come out for the winter, and it's not a joke. It's you really gotta dress right, wear the right kind of shoes, you know, have all the right kind of equipment. So yeah, it's an adventure for sure.
That's hardcore because I'm in Boston, so but it gets cold in Boston, but nothing like that.
Yeah, this was kind of a rare one. It usually gets about 19, 20, but this got down to about 29 below.
So what's your busy time?
The busy time would be May through like September.
Yeah. Is that because
Yeah,
people, is that when people like visit Montana?
that's when people visit. That's when people are just out adventuring. You know,
Yeah.
the summer months out here are just beautiful. You know, you've got the hiking. We're about 40 minutes from Glacier National Park. You've got all kinds of other public use land around here that you can hunt on, you know, hike on. You can rapids, the water,
Yeah.
fish. It's just really nice. But it's that limited amount of time of the year. You know, I mean, the rest
Yeah,
of the
yeah.
time is either snowing or slushy or raining.
So what's your business? Is it like do people come to you and eat in, or do you do delivery, takeout, and like what's the percentage of that?
Well, we wanted to do a concept because of COVID. I knew that the
Yeah.
dining sit down hadn't quite recovered when we opened in 2021, May. And as we were thinking about it was in 2020. So it was like right in the middle of COVID, you know.
Right.
So you want to have something that allows people to get their pizza quickly, had to have a drive-through. You know, we wanted a smaller location. We have a lobby with six bar stool seating, and we have a slice bar 11 to 2 Tuesday through Friday, which works out really good. And we only want to do it during the day because we're getting ready for that dinner rush,
Yeah.
and we don't have to deal with slices, especially since a lot of people are short on staff. You don't want to have people doing slices when you're trying to do the drive-through and phone calls. So we went with a 1,450 square foot building, so where we could do delivery and takeout primarily. But we do have an outside patio seating that will fit about 16 people. Obviously, it's only good really for the summer months.
Right.
Yeah, summer and fall. So, but it's worked out great. This small concept, you know, walk-in slices has worked out really, really well.
I like
And
that. I like that model. I like a smaller plate, a smaller footprint with less, you know, less space needed and less people needed. And like you said, you had a drive-through. That must be fun.
oh man, it was amazing. I was looking probably for 4 or 5 months prior to try to find a location in Kalispell, and there was just nothing around. And I was really discouraged. I was like, we want to do this, but I just can't find it. It had to be the right location.
Yeah, you don't want to
You know, there are some
rush.
locations that were off behind another building, you know, off to the side, and you couldn't see it, you couldn't get to it. You know, it might be by a Walmart, but it's on the off the side road. I didn't want any of those, and I wanted something on the corner because what my dad told me a long time ago when he was in the business, location, location, location. And I always remember that. Location's so important. So I kind of gave up. I was like, I don't think we're going to find anything. After about 2 weeks, I said, no, let me just look again. So I went on Craigslist, and a lady had posted the ad for where we're at now about 2 hours prior.
Wow.
And it was on the main intersection, US Highway 93, going through Kalispell, which has hundreds of thousands of traffic during the summer, at a cross intersection. It had a drive-through, perfect size, 1,500 square foot. And I called her. We met like a week later. I flew out. She really liked me. I liked her. We hit it off and signed the lease, and the rest was history. But she told me, she said, a few days after you signed the lease, big, retailers were hitting me up saying, can you get out of this somehow? Get out of this contract. She was like, sorry, I already signed the lease. So I really believe, God opened up all the doors for us to get that. I really do. I think, whether you're religious or not, I believe that. I think it was the perfect location. We're so blessed to have it.
What was the, so 1,400 square feet, not really that big, and it has a drive-through. What was the business before that it was?
It was a Starbucks. It was a City Brew, which is kind of like a Starbucks. It's kind of like that.
So it was like more of a coffee. Oh, that's perfect. Look, that's kind of a perfect transition then, because it's the perfect size for you. It's got a drive-through, which I'm sure the drive-through is great in the wintertime for you, right? Because people can just drive up. They don't have to get out of their car.
Well, a lot of times people are handicapped. Sometimes they have kids. Yeah. They can't get out of the car after school. They want to roll up real quick and pick up their pizzas. The winter, the rain. We did have to knock out the drive-through window and put a wider one, because there was only like, it would only fit like, I think it was like 12 inches.
Yeah.
Just for coffee, enough for coffee. But so we got one that was like, I think it was 20 inches. So we can fit like a large pizza through it. Actually goes up and down by a sensor.
Oh, so like a house window almost?
Yeah. You don't have to slide it. Actually, when you come close to it, it's got a sensor and it goes.
That's really cool. Nice. So do people, how does a drive-through work? Because I think people are confused about it. Because I've talked a little bit about drive-throughs on the pizza part of it, and I think people are like used to drive-throughs when it comes to like McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's, where you order at the, and then you pull up, and they're like, how does that work? Do people order, or do they just pick up at the window?
Actually, that was kind of interesting. We had to kind of figure out how we're going to use this, because the box was there, the speaker.
Yeah.
But it wasn't hooked up. And then the sensor plate was there and it wasn't hooked up either. So we had to get a technician. And the guy that came out was like, I don't know, maybe 70 or 80 years old, because nobody works on those things anymore,
That's crazy.
Everybody has those wireless headsets and everything. So when somebody rolls up to ours, we get a little buzzer inside of intercom inside the shop. And we press the button. Hey, thanks for coming to Ranger Joe's. Do you have a pickup today? They say, yeah, my name's John Williams. I have a pickup. And then we have it in the hot box.
Yeah.
So that gives us time to go to the hot box. By the time they roll up to the window, we've already pretty much gotten their pizza and set it down for them. So it's a real quick process. It's a older conference, kind of like a dual conference kind of system, but it works out perfect because we don't have like a menu board out there. We don't do any orders through the drive-thru because there's so many people coming through, picking up their pizzas. If we had to place orders at the same time or have a menu board out there, it would just be a nightmare. So it's only for drive-through pickup.
Yeah, yeah. And like, what if someone's order's not ready?
Well, that's interesting. So we've got a system where if they are in the drive-through, we put a DT on the ticket. If they're up front at the lobby, we put a star.
Okay.
So that's on the cut line. So if somebody's waiting for their pizza in the lobby, we don't want to forget to put that star because it could sit in the hot box for 20 minutes and we don't know.
Right.
So we really had to train our staff. Hey, if there's a star, they're waiting up front. If it's DT, they're in the drive-thru. Now, if theirs is not ready and the guy behind theirs is, we'll ask him, do you mind, looping around one time? By that time, it should be pretty close. 90% of the time, we're real close and they're okay with it.
Yeah.
But there is a couple times where they've had to loop two or three times around.
It
is what it is.
Yeah, listen, I would rather them loop around the building two or three times than stare at you in the front lobby for 10 minutes because, like, a minute seems like an hour when their food's not ready and they're staring at you.
Yeah, exactly.
At least when they're looping around, you don't have to look at them.
Exactly. Well, I mean, we know that they know that at least we're working on their pizza next time we come around. Hopefully it's done for them.
Yeah.
But we use print out tickets. We don't have electronic boards where orders are like McDonald's. You slide it over to the next screen. We just have the old school paper tickets with a San Germar ticket holder, and we pass it down to the guys at the cut line, and they stick it up in reverse order, and that's how it's done. So,
what point of sale system do you use?
We use Toast.
Okay, that's pretty popular nowadays. A lot of people are using Toast. So the drive-through thing for you must be new though, because you had experience in the pizza world with Hungry Howie's, but you didn't have it. They didn't have drive-through. So like you had to figure all this out, right?
Well, we had to figure it out. But my dad actually did have a drive-through back in the '80s.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, it wasn't a drive-through originally. It was an outside seating area with like picnic tables.
Yeah.
So he closed that in and put a drive-through window in there. So,
oh, wow. That's amazing that he had it way back then.
Yep, he did. He had a little slide window. But the thing is, I was so long ago, I don't remember the process we used. So, but it's just, it's not hard to figure out. We have two Metro warmers. I don't know if you're familiar with Metro.
Yeah.
They're like sheet, like for dough and stuff like that to proof your dough. Well, we use those to hold our to-go or drive-through orders, even our pickup orders. So we slide them in there. And it works perfect because we have a 16-inch box, and it slides right in on both of the little metal brackets on the side. And if we got a small, we just kind of tilt the small where
diagonally.
It holds.
Yeah.
Diagonally, yeah. So it holds it. It actually works out. Now we have the small and large. We don't have mediums, extra large. We originally opened up, and I only was offering large because I wanted to make it a simple process. But my wife and my sons were like, Dad, man, you got to offer a small, you know? You got to offer a small. So we eventually started offering small. So now it's, if you're not that hungry, a small will work.
Yeah.
If you're more hungry, you got a family, you'll either get a large or two larges.
I think it's smart to add later because you can always add, it's harder to add. It's harder to take something away than it is to add something later. But if you start with this, and that's a mistake I made. So we had two locations, and in the second location, we duplicated the first. And the first location was very seasoned. We had a seasoned staff. It was around for a long time. We added things slowly over time. And in the second location, we duplicated the menu and we shot ourselves in the foot because it was just too much. It overwhelmed the new staff and we should have added slowly over time.
Gotcha. Yeah. And also it keeps down on the kind of boxes that we need to store.
Yeah.
Because we're using small boxes for our calzones, our cheese breads, our cinnamon sticks, our small pizzas, our Sicilian pizzas, and our Detroit deep dishes. So all those go in one box, a 12-inch box. And then our larges are only, large pieces only go in the larges. So it keeps down on the cost we have to and the investment we have to have in inventory.
Do you have any other menu items or is it just pizza?
No, we have New York style.
Yeah.
Large and small, hand tossed. We have a cauliflower crust, 10-inch, gluten free. We also have Detroit deep dish and a 9x13. And then we also have Sicilian pizza in the 9x13. And then we have calzones, a cheese calzone, or build your own up to three toppings, various cheese breads, and cinnamon sticks. And that's it.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and we don't want to like really have anything more than that because we want to be, like I say to other people and I talk to them, we'd be like the In-N-Out of pizza.
Yeah.
In-N-Out has three burgers, shakes, and that's it, and drinks. Yeah. So we want to do that so we can easily duplicate this. And not have to worry about having 30 things and salads and subs and pastas and stuff like that. The only thing I can think we would open up to adding would be maybe a baked ziti.
Yeah, something for somebody that doesn't want pizza, yeah. Do you get asked a lot about other things?
We've been asked about salads. That's like the biggest thing people have said. Hey, do you have salads? I'll get that question maybe once every couple months when I answer the phone.
That's not bad.
Do you have salads? Unfortunately. Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people, and I think people understand it and they know what we carry now.
Yeah.
So,
and plus you open like that, right? So like that was your menu when you opened. So people learned.
Actually, we did open with salads.
Oh, did you really?
And yeah, we had salads because back in the day we did an antipasto salad. We had, salami, ham, cheese, olives and all that kind of stuff, but we weren't really selling enough to make it worth it. So like the salad was going bad, the pre-made salads, and then you got to make the dressings and then, it was just too much hassle.
So you took it off.
So we got rid of the salads.
Did people complain?
No.
That's awesome.
No.
So this is, you said you're looking for a second location or the goal is to obviously franchise. Are you going to franchise with the model you have now with the drive-through or is it optional?
I would like to franchise that model because it's easier to find that smaller location.
Yeah.
Now, for the next one, we do want to open up the front area a little bit, maybe get four or five tables. We'll have a larger slice bar, and it'll be all day long. So there's two concepts, I guess, that we're thinking about. Now, the slice bar all day long would have a separate make station, a separate crew just to make the slices. Then we'd have a separate make line for call-ins, walk-ins, or deliveries. So that's the ultimate goal. But it would still be walk-up service. So your number would be called. You'd come and get your pizza. You'd sit down. It wouldn't be full service. You'd have a soda machine so you can fill your own drinks. So we're going to have big screen TVs, so people can come in and enjoy a lunch and have some TV to have, better, wider selection of slices. So that we're looking at probably about 2,000 to 2,500 square feet on the next location.
So same kitchen size and then 1,000 square foot for the dining room.
Yes, we might open up the back a little bit more for possibly additional pizza options. Maybe like frozen pizza, shipping pizza.
That's interesting.
Because I don't think it's too hard. I haven't really got into it, but Goldbelly and all those companies offer the shipping around the United States. Probably wouldn't go through them. We do it ourselves.
I've
But
done a few
I think our
podcasts about
product.
people. I've done a few podcasts. I think there was one company, I think it was around COVID time. It was a company in Canada. I forget the name of it. I'll have to look it up when the podcast is over. But they pivoted. They were a pizza company, and then obviously COVID hit. They totally transitioned to a frozen pizza brand. And that's all they did after
Oh,
that.
wow.
Yeah. They were pretty successful with it. It was only in Canada because they couldn't ship to the US, but they shipped across Canada because they were a Canadian company. So that's smart. I think the thing that 2020 taught us the most too was being versatile, right? Like you don't want to be stuck in one thing because if you have a lot of restaurants got shut down and they didn't know how to do takeout or they didn't know how to do anything dinner wise where it's like pre-made meals. And I think you need to be a little bit versatile because who knows what's going to happen again. You never know. If it happened once, it could definitely happen again. And those restaurants like that got closed down. Yeah, you can get it. You can take your dish that you made in a restaurant and put it in a to-go box, but like the experience is what people paid for, and they're not going to pay $25 for a dish that is in a box that they can go somewhere else and get for 15, So it's got to be like something a little bit different.
I remember hearing about all of the shops that had to pivot to a different concept or close their dine-in and make it into a more of a staging area or a pickup area, or, So we were fortunate when we opened up in May of 2021. We were kind of like over the halfway mark. We're kind of leaning towards the end of the, distancing and the plexiglass things. Actually, our governor here in Montana had gotten rid of all that by the time we opened. So we were able to open as if COVID never happened, which was really cool,
And
without
even
the
if
mask and all the
like if
cases.
COVID happens again, like the drive-through window is a perfect scenario, right? Because people don't have to get out of their car. They just drive up, you hand them the box, it's very little touch point.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't have a drive-through, you had the parking outside, that little pickup parking, and you had to walk it up. So yeah, it's the drive-through is really key, and I think we will slow down or we will not move forward on locations unless we can find a corner location with a drive-through, because it's that important these days, I think.
Yeah. Do you, so you do
in
it.
this kind of concept, the small 1,400 square foot walk-in, dine-in, delivery. Yeah, I think it's very important.
Just pizza too. Like you do enough volume with just pizza. Like you're satisfied with the volume you guys are doing. Like you make enough money. I mean, you're in Montana, so the cost of living is probably a little bit cheaper than California, right?
Yeah, we're doing beyond my expectations
That's
of
great.
what we thought we would do. I mean, we're doing really, really well. My dad is even amazed at how well we're doing, and it's all because of our customer base here in Montana. We're really pushing on Facebook, Instagram. I try to make it interesting. Number one, our product. You got to have a good pizza. Our pizza, and I'm not
Definitely.
just saying this because I'm the owner, is A plus. You know what I mean? It's not like it's more like gourmet sit down pizza, but you get it within 15, 20 within 15, 20 minutes.
That's awesome. You do a good job. Like, so your thing is Ranger Joe, right? So I've seen you do some Instagram videos and some Facebook videos where you dress up as the guy, right?
I am the brand, I guess you could say.
Well,
Yeah,
now
I'm
I
in an
understand.
outfit.
Now I understand why you're so comfortable with that because you were an actor. So it's like for you, it's a role.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a role, but it's also it's become part of who I am. The real quick how I got the name is we went on a hike in the northwest part of Glacier National Park. I set it up, had my son's nephew, son-in-law, friend come out. We did this hike because they were going to be here for like a week and a half. I said, "Why are we here? Let's do a 2-day hike." So we get up there, and it's a little more challenging than we thought. It wasn't supposed to be as elevated as it was. I read all this stuff. We get there, and it's up and down through the hills, and the path had been overgrown that year, and it was the hottest day in summer in 10 years. So we really couldn't fish when we got to the campsite. It was 6.5 miles there, 6.5 miles back. So it wasn't a disaster, but it was just more than everybody thought. You know, my nephew almost broke his ankle. My buddy had a sore in his side where he had rubbed his backpack. It was just, you know, are we there? An hour in, I'm like, no, man, we got like 3 more hours till we get to the 6.5 mile point. So we get there, we spend the night, get up the next morning and basically hike back. And it was just kind of like, oh, everybody got there. We had dinner the next day. We had to get back in time. So because of my gung-ho-ness, getting everybody safe through the hike and yelling hey bear and keeping us safe through grizzly country, they named me Ranger Joe. They promoted me. So because of that, that's how the name
became. Interesting.
And that's who, and so when I went to Pizza Expo this year, I had my Ranger outfit.
I saw.
I had a salt, a Parmesan shaker on one side, a pepper shaker on the other side. And people loved it. They were taking pictures with me. I thought it was kind of cool. And they enjoyed it.
That's a great thing. So we'll have a little... it's a good thing to have some sort of something to set you apart to make you kind of stand out, because that's what you try to do, right? You're trying to make sure that someone recognizes you. Like you said, your product's got to be good, because you can get all the recognition in the world, but if they come in and the product stinks, then it's worth nothing. But if you can get a good product and then get them in the door, you know the product will make them come back a second time.
Exactly. And our theme is adventure is not complete without pizza. That's our slogan, I guess. Well, I was fortunate enough to trademark it, so it's trademarked. So in our lobby, it's all adventure. I've got deer mounts, I've got fish mounts, I've got snow skis, I've got the original pack that I used when I went and hiked in the Glacier National Park. I got fishing rods up there. You know, it's a small lobby, but when you come in, we got all our mascots. We got Gruff the Grizzly, Buddy the Black Bear, we have Thunder the Bald Eagle, and we have Morley the Moose. They're all up on top of like a little wood beam that you walk through, like some saloon doors to go into the employee only area. So we just created the whole theme of adventure, pizza, you know, Ranger Joe, and it's worked out really well. I enjoy it. I enjoy being Ranger Joe, and I think it has the potential to really go big as a franchise, not only in Montana, but Idaho, Wyoming, all these South Dakota and stuff like that, and then spread it out from there.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, we want to start here in Kalispell and get our second location. And we want to provide good pizza. You know, we want to provide high quality pizza at a very quick setting, get it out to you fast and in small shops like this where it can be easily duplicated.
Who's the biggest competition for you in Montana for when it comes to pizza?
Well, it's funny you say that. So when I leased this building, within about 7 or 8 months, Domino's opened up within like maybe I could throw a Frisbee and hit Domino's.
They're
like right across the street. Yeah. They're right across the street. And when they first opened up, you know, people are like, why would Domino's open up next to you? And they were real upset. And initially I was kind of like, oh, wow. I wonder if that's going to affect our business, you know? But then I thought about it. I said, you know, our pizza and our concept is just totally different. And it really hasn't hurt us at all. Not at all.
That's great.
Not one bit.
Domino's is the only franchise in my area that makes it. Papa John's tried to open, didn't make it. Little Caesars tried to open, didn't make it. Domino's, for some reason, I don't know why, is the only one in the north of Boston region that can last. Every other one just closes down. They don't make it. I don't know why.
You know, I
yeah.
I actually read in a book of another well-known pizza person in the industry that, and I don't want to do this, and I never wish, I always wish that everybody does well, but we do better.
Yeah.
But he said that a big franchise eventually closed in his city. They moved in next to him too. But, you know, it is what it is. I want everybody to do well, but you know, I think the product will set us apart, and that's, you know, that it sets us apart.
Yeah, I bet you probably have different clientele. The people who eat your pizza aren't going to go get a Domino's pizza, and the people who get Domino's probably won't come to you because they're looking for a cheaper pizza, right? Like, if they want a good pizza, they wouldn't go to Domino's.
Yeah, I think that people sometimes will look at the dollar factor, and that's an important issue, and a lot of times I think people need to save money. But I think when they have certain types of pizza and then they wake up the next day and they say, you know what, I think I know why we go to Ranger Joe's, you know?
Right.
And our pizzas, we're not gouging anybody. We're not like charging exorbitantly more. Our pizza is very fair price. It's actually probably very close to Domino's or Pizza Hut if you were to build a pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't understand. It's such a small dollar amount, right? Like you say, even if you, I don't know what you charge for pizza, but let's say in my area, a 16-inch pizza is $15, right? Like you can go get two 12-inch pizzas from Domino's for $10 or one 16-inch pizza for $15. But if you go to the right place, that 16-inch pizza is going to feed just as many people. It's going to be so much better and so much higher quality ingredients and like make you feel less horrible after you eat it. For $5, like a cup of coffee. That's what a Starbucks charges for one coffee.
You're right. You're 100% right. And you want to look at what you're getting when you buy it, too. You know, a large at Domino's or Pizza Hut is 14 inches.
Yeah.
Ours is 16.
I could see if it was like $20 more, right? Like, I'll go to Domino's for 10 or go to a regular pizza shop for 40. But it's not. It's like $5 or $10.
$5 or $10. Yeah, exactly. And I really do think people appreciate the quality that we sell out here. Nobody's doing the Detroit deep dish or the Sicilian in the valley. So if you want that kind of gourmet, high quality pizza, when you eat it, you really realize how good it is. I mean, we have a cold fermentation for up to 4 days in our dough. We cook our sauce in-house. We use Stanislaus 7-Eleven. And then we also cook our sausage in-house.
Huh.
Now, that's something I wanted to do because my dad did that back in the 80s. So, and that made a big difference because people would just rave about our sausage, how good it was, because we would add our own spices. It would go through the Middleby Marshall oven, and it would retain a lot of that moisture that you don't get when you buy food from a reseller like whoever, the big names.
Yeah, yeah.
You get those little clump, pre-made clumps of sausage.
Rabbit turds.
There's no character. Somehow. Yeah. What do you call them?
Rabbit turds.
Rabbit turds.
They look like little rabbit turds.
So, yeah, our sausage retains all that moisture, and people just love our sausage. So those things, yeah, it takes more to prep, more time, but it's worth it in the end.
Do you use the same dough for the Detroit and your regular pizza, or do you have two different doughs?
That's a good question. And we actually use the same dough for three styles.
Nice. You just ferment it differently.
There's a different process for the proofing.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's interesting.
But, and you know, Tony Gimignani and Laura Myers, they've talked about that recently. I think they even have a seminar, same dough, three styles.
Yeah.
And actually that was recent. Not that I'm the first one doing it, but we've been doing it since we opened that way. It just makes it easier to prep and everything. So
yeah, 100% easier to use. If you can use the same dough for different styles, it's way easier than having three different doughs.
I'm all for if you can have the manpower and the mixers and the different kind of dough styles to do the specific dough for each style, probably, you know, I'm all for it. But in our concept, since we don't have the room or the facility to do all that, we just decided to go with one dough.
Yeah, we did the same thing. We used to use the same dough for the calzones, breadsticks, the pizza, and we did like a – it wasn't a Detroit style. It was almost like more of a grandma style deep dish pizza where we had not a Detroit style pan, but it was like a breadstick. It was like a Lloyd pan, but it only had about an inch and a half on the side. And we made that into a deeper dish pizza, but we used the same dough. People just,
okay.
It was the same kind of same ingredients, just a different way of delivering it to somebody. And people loved it.
Yeah. Our Sicilian is amazing. It, the way we proof it. And then when you cook it, we parbake it. It's just, it's crispy. You get that little blistering on the side, and it the moisture's taken out even more when it goes to the oven that second time. Nice and crunchy on the outside, soft in the middle, golden brown on the bottom. So we've been able to kind of master those styles. People ask us, hey, are you going to add a Chicago? You know, I said, well, my parents did Chicago's in the 80s, but they had Baker's Pride deck ovens, and they take a lot longer to cook.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're thicker, a lot more cheese. And we have a Middleby Marshall PS 360. It's a double decker. And it just rolls the pizza through. It's a perfect cook. Probably get a little better cooking the bottom, but it was on a deck oven.
Yeah.
Because of the heat. But I'm real happy with our way our pizzas come out.
Takes what, 6 or 7 minutes to go through?
We're at about 5:45, and it takes about 5 minutes, 37 seconds to go through the oven.
Yeah. I mean, your dough would probably be great on a deck oven. Same kind of process, right? Just a deck oven. But you wouldn't be able to pump out the volume. The conveyor oven's really meant to pump out volume and different styles of pizza without having to watch it too much.
Yeah. When my parents opened the shop in the '80s, they had Baker's Pride ovens, deck ovens, and they were good, but man, I remember burning myself here. You burn yourself, you got all kinds of burns on your arm, and I knew the volume. And the biggest issue why we didn't go that way with this restaurant is, or the shop is, you have to have somebody there 100% of the time, moving those pizzas around, moving them to different hot spots and turning them around so they don't burn on one side. It creates probably a crispier pizza, but the manpower that's involved, especially with the COVID issue and employees, we said, you know what, let's just, they actually switched from the Baker's Pride to the Middle B Marshall conveyor ovens. Because of that.
You still got
issues. Because of their volume. They got so busy.
Yeah. Both ovens have their issues when it comes to like the completion of the pizza, right? I remember when I first started making pizza, I was working at Pizzeria Regina here in Boston, and we had deck ovens, but we had 6 deck ovens. So it was like a wall of deck ovens. And if you forgot a pizza in there, it would just burn. You'd just be like, oh no, I forgot it in there. And like the conveyor oven, if you're a pizza guy, you put it in one side and the other guy on the other side or girl takes it out. And you got a little runway from when it comes out to when it's going to fold up or hit the floor. So you got a little bit of time there.
If the stopper comes off, it'll just roll off.
Exactly. Yeah. We've had some pizza pileups at the other end of the oven some Friday nights for sure.
Oh, yeah. Or a cauliflower keeps coming through and the large, you slide underneath the large, and you got to make sure you get those pizzas out. So there's not a perfect system. You still have to have somebody manning it on the end, but it gives you that time. It gives you that little bit of a, staging. You can stage your pizzas so the guy can deal with the first one before the next one's coming out.
And it is more consistent, right? Because it's like a timed process. So as long as your ingredients are the same, it's a little bit more consistent of a cook.
Very consistent. Yep, exactly.
Well, you're in Montana. Which platform is the most for you? Is it Facebook, Instagram? Like, you using all those for marketing to get people to know what you're doing?
I think Instagram is the bigger one that I use.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the social media. My sons will take pictures here and there, and my employees will help me. But because I went to school for commercial art and graphic design.
Okay.
So when I was in the sheriff's department, I did e-learning management. I was the coordinator for the whole department. So I've always been involved in the graphics and stuff like that. So I enjoy it. So I enjoy doing it. And that's why I post so much. And that's why I do it so much. Probably on there too much, according to my wife. But
it's for work, right? It's a purpose.
Yeah, that's why I'm on it. This is for work. We're just promoting what we do. We're promoting our brand, promoting our product, showing people what's happening at Ranger Joe's, keeping them involved and involving them, like I say, in the journey that we're on. Like today I post a photo of us getting our new shirts. So we got new shirts. It was a bear eating a pizza, and the back of it says bears love pizza too. And it's got Ranger Joe's and our information on there.
That's funny.
So our employees will be real happy with those shirts. But yeah, mainly Instagram. Facebook is big too. I think Facebook is really big in smaller cities.
Yeah.
It keeps you connected with community events, things that are happening. You've got different groups out there. And I find that the small town really rely on Facebook a lot to know what's happening. So that's been really good for us too. But I think more on Instagram.
Yeah, you can. Though Facebook skews a little older too, although Instagram's catching up, but Facebook's definitely an older demographic of people.
Yep, and you have the older people here in the community too, older group that really do, like you said, use that Facebook a lot.
Yeah, I like that you're using it to kind of like document what you're doing and what you're up to. You must have become. People probably recognize you in your town, right? Like you go to the grocery store,
or
you go somewhere, they hey, that's Ranger Joe.
Exactly. Yeah. It's funny. I get a lot of people seeing me, I guess it's just part of the thing, since I have the outfit and I'm always on Instagram, always displaying stuff that we're doing. They do recognize me a lot. Yeah.
Well, that means it's working though. That means what you're doing is working, because if no one recognized you in your town, you'd be like, damn, I'm doing all this work on Instagram all the time and no one knows what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's a good and the bad, but it's more good.
Oh man, this is fun. I appreciate you. Where
Gotta
can
make
go?
sure
People
I
say
don't
hello.
speed.
Yeah. Where if people want to go follow you guys on Instagram, what's your Instagram handle? I know your website is rangerjoespizza.com, but what's your Instagram?
Instagram is at Ranger Joe's Pizza.
Okay. And what about
And
Facebook?
then same thing with Facebook.
And if they wanted to say hello to you, if they listen to this podcast, you know, I want to see what they're up to. Say hello. Instagram's probably the place to message you or follow.
Exactly. That would be the best. That's where I'm on the most.
Anything I missed that we should have talked about that I didn't talk to you about?
You know, just remember that adventure is not complete without pizza.
That is for sure. That's the words I live by. I love going out for pizza. It's great. Joe, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for hanging out with me in the podcast. Don't hang up yet, but I appreciate you taking the time and sharing your story with us. It was fun to talk to you.
Yep. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks to Joe for joining me on the podcast. Another idea I had for episode number 500 was to go out and do some live interviews in person at people's pizzerias. I love the pizza show with Frank Pinello. I know Frank, friend of mine. We've talked many, many times on and offline. And he used to have a great pizza show. I used to love watching that show, and I'm sure a lot of you did as well as you on YouTube. It's not that I want to recreate that show, but I think there's a need for content kind of like this podcast where you can see people's restaurants, see how they're making their pizza, growing their business more business-oriented. That's what I'm focused on versus the style of pizza-oriented, which is what Frank was focused on. So if that's something you want to do, if you want to have me come into your pizzeria, we'll record a podcast. Same way we do now, but we'll do it live, and then we'll shoot some B-roll. You can walk me around your kitchen, show a little business, how you're running it. We can possibly do something like that. Shoot me a message on Instagram if you want to get on the list to be featured in one of those, if I'm in your area, or maybe we can make a plan to have you on the podcast. All right, thank you so much. Everything that we talked about will be available over at smartpizzamarketing.com. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.